It is a privilege for Juanetta and me to be here tonight, and we want to, of course, thank all of you for your part in our lives from the very beginning, the early days. Actually, Juanetta and I were members of Bethel Baptist Church when we wed, and back then it was Pastor Newman and Pastor John Neese from Marion who performed the wedding for us, and so we have some special memories here at Bethel. Eldon was one of those old fellows that just scared me to death when I went before the deacons to actually for them to ask me questions about my salvation and things like that in regard to membership here at Bethel. And yeah, I was intimidated by those guys, and Dean Potter was one of them too back then. I do remember that. But thank you for being part of our lives all of these years and putting up with us, I guess, is one way to say it. You helped in many ways, even through Bible college days. And those things are very touching to Juanetta and me. And thank you for your hospitality tonight. Thank you, Pastor Dave and Charlotte, for hosting us in your home tonight, things like that. Each Wednesday night, we pray for one of our supporting churches, and Bethel routinely comes up. And as our church family pray for you folks, they take you very personally. They pray for you as not Matt and Juanetta's supporting church, but our supporting church. They think of you that way. And not only that, but they recognize by now that Bethel is the church that sent us out, has commissioned us to serve the Lord. And so as we're out, we're not only ambassadors for Christ, but I guess Bethel Baptist Church too. Thank you for all of that. Eureka, many of you know much about Eureka, living here in northwest Montana. Juanetta and I were surprised, and we'll share more about that tomorrow night as we show some PowerPoint pictures of the history of Valley Baptist Church in Eureka. But we were surprised that God led us back to northwest Montana, having grown up, as you heard from Juanetta, in Marion. Eureka is only about 90 miles away, and so there were a lot of familiar things there. We fit well, and we're glad for that. And as we went through that process, I won't have time to really share much about that, but the deacons and pastor here, Pastor Pestel, and the deacons at the time, as we presented the possible change from mission building, which was a very good, enjoyable ministry for those years that we served the Lord in that capacity, as we presented the possibility of a change not in focus but in function, our focus is still the same, and that is establishing good, strong Bible-preaching churches in communities where there's a need here in North America, because we're with a home mission agency called Continental Baptist Missions. And at any rate, our function has changed. And, of course, the first place that we had to go was to the Lord, and we sensed that very strongly. And then, of course, our pastor and the deacons of our home church, and they were enthusiastic about it. Pastor's already mentioned a little bit about that. But then the location, that was a surprise to us. And God used you folks in regard to that as well and have helped in many ways. And we just want to thank you. We started November 19th, 2006, for our first church service in Eureka. And since then, there's been a lot happen. We'll share a little bit more about that tomorrow evening. I'm privileged to preach from the Word of God tonight. I'm going to be starting in the Old Testament, and Bruce and I were teasing. I asked him, should I use the Old Testament or New Testament? And he said, how about the 400 silent years? I don't know if he wanted me to be silent or not. At any rate, we're going to be, I hope that you can bear with me. I do not want to point toward us. I want to, as I share quite a few anecdotes or stories about what has happened in Eureka tonight through this passage of Scripture in Ezekiel, I hope that you understand it's not about us, it's about the Lord and what He does. And we sang a little bit earlier, in the service of the King. The chorus says, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. That's true for you as well as it is for me. Which reminds me of a little story I shared in Sunday school yesterday morning. Have you heard of the pastor who preached a powerful sermon on spiritual gifts? and the use of spiritual gifts. At the end of the service, as he greeted people in the foyer, a lady came up to him and she shook his hand and she said, "You know, Pastor, I think I have the gift of criticism." And you've heard of this? And the pastor said, "Do you remember the account in Matthew 25 where the Lord told a parable about men receiving talents, and there was one man who received one talent? Do you remember what he did with it?" And the woman thought for a moment and she said, "Yes, I think I do. He went out and buried it." And the pastor said, "Go thou and do likewise." What a way to start. Maybe we better pray. Our Lord God in heaven, as we open the scriptures together, I ask you that you would use your word in our lives. And also, Heavenly Father, we know that this passage was written in a different context than local church planting. And yet, the lessons we can learn from it, Heavenly Father, I ask you would challenge each of us as individuals, whether we're a man or a woman, whether we're a child or an adult or an older individual. All of us, Heavenly Father, have received Christ as personal Savior, have been given ability by you to serve you in various capacities and various ways, but all of us are called to serve you, and we know that. And Father, I ask you that you would challenge someone, maybe several of us, maybe all of us tonight through this passage. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Go to Ezekiel 34, please. Open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 34. This may be an unusual passage for a missions challenge, and yet I think you'll understand as we go through it. Ezekiel 34, just follow along as I read verses 1 and 2, okay? Ezekiel 34, verses 1 and 2. Juanetta, my progressive glasses are funny too. We both got new glasses at Costco today. Anyway, Ezekiel 34, verses 1 and 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" You know, I want to make it very, very clear. This context has to do certainly with the Jewish people in Ezekiel's day, as God led Ezekiel to prophesy actually against them and their leadership. We need to make a distinction always between national Israel, which is a nation of individuals. Some have known the Lord and are those who have inherited eternal life. The majority have not. It's a nation, and yet they are distinct or different from the church. The true church is the called out body of Christ. All who have placed faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior are saved from their sin eternally, and they are part of the local, the body of Christ, and on a local level, so is Bethel Baptist Church, and so is Valley Baptist Church in Eureka. And we keep national Israel and the church distinct. The true church are all saved. National Israel certainly are not. God has a plan for Israel, and yet at this time it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or Greek, whether you're bond or free, whether you're a man or a woman or a child or an adult. All who come to Christ in faith, believing in him who shed his blood for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, are saved and part of the church. But we can learn a lesson from national Israel. You know, we could say there's no distinction, as it says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, or Romans 10, verses 8 through 12, especially verse 12 tells us that. But in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them," that was Israel, "for examples as they are written for our admonition. We can learn, and there are examples from the Old Testament that we can learn by and apply to us as individuals who are part of the body of Christ, who are part of the church. So we're going to learn, I hope, we're going to learn something from the mistakes that were made back in Ezekiel's day and avoid them ourselves. The shepherds here, I'll read on, verses 3 and following, ye eat the fat, it says of them, and ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Interesting, isn't it? In a sense, we recognize pastors have that responsibility as shepherds to lead a flock. And yet these men that were in the picture here, most of them were priests and scribes, but it also extended to those who ruled in Israel. They took care of themselves well, but they neglected the flock of Israel. Can we learn by that? Well, we can say we better not neglect our responsibilities in a local church, which is also likened to sheep. You know, without a shepherd, sheep just don't do well. When we first met the Pestles in 1997 or so, we had stayed on a piece of property owned by Walt and Myra Richards, and they had sheep at the time. And we got to observe them, and we would go, oh my goodness, the Lord, he compares us to sheep, you know? Isn't that, they were so foolish sometimes that it shocked me, you know? I would drive in the driveway, and a yearling would have its head stuck through the fence, and it was just 6-inch mesh, or, you know, sheep fence, and he pretended that he couldn't get out. He was stuck, and so as soon as I opened the pickup door, he'd jerk his head out and run away. And I thought, well, that seemed silly and dumb. But then one day, I moved sheep from one pasture to another, and I opened one of those Green Powder River gates and walked around behind the sheep to just kind of push them through that opening, and then I figured on closing the gate behind them, and they wouldn't go. They were so used to that gate being there that they walked up to where it had been and wouldn't go past that point. Finally, one brave yearling jumped where the gate had been, and he made it. And so all of the rest of them, guess it, yeah, they all jumped where the gate had been. None of them walked through that opening. It was, and the Lord compares us to sheep, you know. While without a shepherd, we don't do well. There's chaos, there's panic. We're vulnerable to wolves. And in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul clearly stated that there would be wolves enter in among us in the church. And we do need strong shepherding. So this is, of course, something for you to be praying for your pastor about. But also, you'll see that all of us can have a part in this. May I just say that we can read into this that there was spiritual sickness, spiritual weakness, spiritual brokenness, and some were lost because they were without a shepherd, as it says there, as we just finished reading that in verse 5. Go to verses 11 and following, and we'll see a little bit about the great shepherd. We know in John 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. We know that. I am the shepherd of the sheep, he said. I am the door in that passage as well. But here we see a picture of the Lord himself in this sense as well. Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. The context here is the future regathering of national Israel when the Lord Jesus Christ will rule perfectly from his throne for 1,000 years. And King David knew about this when he wrote the 23rd Psalm and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He understood that. And we too can realize, okay, there's a contrast or a comparison here. On one hand, the shepherds of Israel were neglecting what they should have been doing. On the other hand, God will make it perfect someday, and he will perfectly lead that nation in all of their needs. So in verse 16 is where I'd like for us to camp for a few moments. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. It's easy to make an outline out of that. The first part, of course, would be the Lord will seek that which was lost. How are we doing in seeking those who are lost? You know, the theme verse for our conference tonight, and I mean Sunday through Wednesday of this week, is Psalm 49, verse 8. It says, of course, "For the redemption of their soul is precious." How precious is the soul of an individual? We can't put a price on it. It's immeasurable. How are we doing in our personal evangelism? All of us, not just Matt and Juanetta or your pastor or your pastors and their wives. The shepherds of Israel were not doing their job. Are we doing ours? Here in Kalispell or in Eureka, Montana, or eventually for the Petersons in Germany, and as they travel and serve the Lord on deputation as they speak at churches, are we doing that? Are we seeking that which was lost? It's something we all ought to consider. You know, we have programs for things like this. We have Vacation Bible School. We have evangelists coming in. We have Bible conferences and things like that. But, you know, there is a popular fashion among churches, a fad, where the desire is to attract the world in with things that they're comfortable with, to win the world with the world, we say. And we don't see that as a biblical way of thinking. The biblical pattern would be, as we go, according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we are to win the lost and then bring them into the church that they may be edified and we may be edified and grow together. Juanetta and I make it a point to try to, and I even keep a journal of these things, to make at least 10 to 20 visits per week. In our community, that's an easy thing to do. It's not always been easy for us in Naperville, Illinois, when we were assisting Book Road Baptist Church. That was a hard place to do that. But Eureka is an easy place to go and visit with people. Even this morning, I did a small job. Well, even at the doctor's office, I had some stitches removed from my back, and it feels good. The physician's assistant that did that, I didn't get to talk with him about Christ and his spiritual needs, but I did invite him to church. And you can do the same. As we go, we ought to be seeking opportunities to share the gospel with people. I'll share a little bit more about what I did with another fellow in just a few moments. But as we go, we ought to be desiring to share the gospel with people so that we are seeking that which was lost. And once they come to Christ, they can come to church too and be edified along with us. Juanetta mentioned about We Care. She has the freedom, and really she accepted that position as a counselor there because she has the freedom not only to teach Bible principles as she counsels with the young women who come in, but also share the gospel with them. And she's encouraged to do that, and we're glad that she does. I, for a while, though that door is closed to me right now, not just me, that door is just closed in general, I taught a Bible study at a place called the Ranch for Kids, which was for juvenile delinquents who had been placed in foster care, some in adopted homes, and they were unmanageable, so they were sent to Ranch for Kids. I taught a Bible lesson there for about a year and a half, and that was great with the boys. I had about 15 boys for a while, and over that year and a half period of time, seven of those boys professed Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It was a wonderful opportunity for me, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm seeking other opportunities like that I'll mention a couple of others tomorrow night as we show slides, but I praise the Lord for the Peterson son, Nathan, accepting Christ as Savior. Isn't that great? As parents, you have the privilege to seek that which was lost. I'm glad for Nathan's recent decision. We had recently just a couple of men that, in a sense, surprised me. The oldest, he is a resident of British Columbia. His name is Doug, and you can pray for his growth, but Doug is 93 years old, and around Christmas time, we had him in our home, and we sat at our table for a while and talked about his spiritual condition, and Doug just wasn't sure, and I encouraged him to make sure, and Doug bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior that day, a 93-year-old man. And we tease a little bit around our church, if a 93-year-old can do it, so can you, you know. another fellow, just about a month and a half ago, his name is Dave, he visited us one time in church, and then I did a follow-up visit. And in that follow-up visit, Dave accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And so I, of course, asked the question then, would you like to have a Bible study in your home? And he lives over in West Kootenay, which is about a 45-minute drive from Eureka. And he said, yes, I would. And so we have a regular Bible study in his home, and there's another man that has joined us for that. So those things are the work of the Lord, where you can even be part of that. Of course, these things should all be funneled into the local church, is the way I see that. And are you doing your job in these areas? We see it as part of our privilege as believers and as your missionaries to be out seeking that which was lost. One of our favorites is a fellow named Ron Gunkel. I think I shared that with you folks a few years ago. So I'll just say this. Ron went from a bitter person to a wonderful person. He went from lost to saved, from spiritually dead to spiritually alive, and I have a Bible study with him each week, too. We have several Bible studies, but he has been the most faithful. We went through not only the basic discipleship booklet right away, but he wanted to know more about the Bible, so we went through the 10 doctrines. And then he wanted to know more, so we went into a little bit of such things as textual criticism and stuff like that. It was interesting how he has desired to grow. We still have regular Bible studies, and they're by far the most in-depth Bible studies that on a one-to-one level I've ever taught. But Ron has grown and grown. He's our church treasurer. And just because God put us together in apartments near each other while we were building our home and he was building his home, and Juanetta baked a plate full of hot cookies that I took over to him, and he accepted those, and then he accepted an invitation to dinner, and then we helped each other on our homes as we built and things like that. Ron finally came to the place where he realized, he's a scientific fellow, that it didn't take reconciling all of the theories of science with what the Bible says. He said a lot of it does seem to fit, and I told him, of course, several times, it does make sense, but it does take a step of faith. You need to, by faith, receive Christ, and then these things will make more sense to you. When he did, it was incredible. He shared the very next day in church what he did on Saturday, and he said, it did take a step of faith, and now a lot of things make much more sense to me. And that's the way it is. The second thing in verse 16 that we see is bring again that which was driven away. As we visit and meet people in Eureka, many have been driven away from church life. Just for the sake of keeping this a little bit brief, many of you, through various ways, have met the Glaze family. Well, Donald and Jamie were a couple that we met early on that had been driven away from more progressive-type church ministries and philosophies. They saw the shallowness in that stuff, and they were they were disillusioned by it all. And had Donald said very seriously, we will never go to any organized church ever again. By God's grace, we were able to befriend them. And very reluctantly, well, at first she came to Juanita's ladies' Bible study. And then very reluctantly, he came to an Easter Sunday service, Resurrection Sunday service in 2008. And they have been brought again. They've been driven away through various modern marketing methods and things like that. We could talk a lot about that, but by God's grace, they have been brought again. They've been driven away, and they've been brought again. And Donald now is my deacon, and I'm so thankful for God doing his work. I wonder sometimes, and we talk about it, what's the percentage? It may be really low. It may be 5% or 1%. I don't know, but it is worth it. The next thing that we see in our passage is to bind up that which was broken. In verse 16, God said, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken. There are many spiritually broken, emotionally broken, mentally broken, morally broken people in Eureka. People move to places like Eureka to get away. And they run from life's problems. We have recently had the privilege to counsel with a couple extensively who had a son die from an overdose. Those things are hard. And God has used that in a wonderful way. We have recently had a family of six who we had ministry with fall away into the things of the world. And we are trying. I just made a visit a couple of days ago on Friday or Saturday to try to bind up their brokenness. They have fallen away into the things of the world spiritually, moral decay. It was amazing that they went that direction. And yet it is our desire to bind up that brokenness. We have counseled several couples with marriage issues. One couple had been dabbling in the occult, and not only do we agree to counsel with them, but it's conditional. If you are in all of our church services, because a lot of my counsel, I tell them, comes from the Word of God from the pulpit as I preach, if you are faithful in that, we will be faithful to you in counseling with you regularly. One family was. And they reconciled the couple were, it seemed, and they were talking divorce. They reconciled, and that is a wonderful privilege to be part of that. They are not members of our church. They were not at that time. And yet, during that time we counseled them, they attended our services regularly and faithfully. And now they're back at it's called Lakeside Christian Church over in West Kootenay, and that is where they are. And yet, we had the privilege to be part of binding up that which is broken. This morning, I told you I did a little job for a fellow and then talked with him about how he's doing. His dad died just recently, and he's in a lot of pain. He's just working hard to avoid facing that. Grief is an area where many people are broken, and by God's grace, we do our best to bind up that brokenness, that grief. A lady who's been in every single church service, even when she had pneumonia, she'd come to church. Her name is Diane. She's a recent widow, and wow, it is our church family love her, and you can pray for Diane. We're not absolutely sure if she's born again yet, and we do talk with her, but we have been privileged to be part of binding up her brokenness as well. I have gone to help thaw, well, actually get water to her house and help her work on some electrical issues, and she's very appreciative of those things with, now, especially without a husband. So there are just several ways that you can be part of binding up brokenness in people's lives. Maybe it's something like I just mentioned. I don't know. The last thing that I'd like to focus on here is the Lord said that he would also strengthen that which is sick. We have seen some sickness mentally and in other ways among people. And I'm not talking about physical sickness, and I hope you understand that. The Lord wasn't really here either, talking about spiritual sickness. We've helped the best we could two families with mental, psychological problems that really sin is at the root of it. And that has been a challenge. We have not seen, and we don't have to walk by what we see, do we? We can walk by faith. We haven't really seen results from that. And yet the Lord, the perfect shepherd, said that he would strengthen that which was sick. And we too can be part of strengthening that which was sick. The best medicine, we believe, is the balm of the Word of God applied by the Holy Spirit. And so we have Bible studies with them. And that's why we focus on preaching and teaching as something central at Valley Baptist Church in Eureka. We don't go for a lot of the other special things that some of the churches are, and because we believe it's the Word of God that will make a difference as applied by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have several Bible studies and why I encourage the kids to fill out outlines so that we can go on six sermon outings together and things like that. And we have just Bible-centered Sunday schools and do things like that. God helps spiritual sickness through his word. I don't believe through secular psychology, not health and wealth, not institutions and choices or clinics or things like that. But through the Word of God, not some special experience. So in all of this, I'd just like to challenge those of us who are here tonight. What can you do? Each one who has received Christ as personal Savior is, at the moment they receive him, they are indwelt by God and the Holy Spirit. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they're given a gift for service, at least a gift for service. Each one of you may not be able to be an evangelist, but maybe you can bind up some brokenness. Maybe you can be used of the Lord in that sense. It is not just for the shepherds of Israel or the shepherds of a local church to seek the lost and to bring again that which was driven away and to bind up that which is broken and to strengthen that which is sick. I'd say it this way. There's just too much to do. That's why God puts together a body that can serve together in doing those things. It might stretch us out of our comfort zone a little bit, and that's okay. But there is so much to do and so few to do it. You know, there's an old observation that 10% of the Christians do 90% of the ministry. If you're observant, you might say, yeah, that's about right. So what are we all doing? You know, Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So what are you doing? Can you be used in some of these ways that the Old Testament shepherds neglected? Sure you can. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your social status or your financial condition. You can be used in some of these ways as well. When we recruit for missions, if you will, we pray, ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's how you recruit for missions. Pray that out of Luke 10:2. Let's not neglect any area of God's ministry like those shepherds of old did.